I'd like to thank our sponsor, Brandon Moyer of Made to Be Clean Cleaning Services. They use low toxic cleaning solutions to make your home or office clean and healthy. Made to Be Clean, your hive, our purpose. 484-509-7197. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman, and you're listening to Real Estate and You, where we are doing shows pretty often now, which is kind of fun. I got some regular shows. We got Pete Heim on the first Thursday. We got Justin today, and he's on the third Thursday, and that's always at 1 o'clock. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a podcast now and also live stream on YouTube. We got live stream on Facebook on two different channels, and we're going to get right into just some updates on mortgages and some things we wanted to talk about that we actually brought up the last time, how we wanted to talk about second mortgages or second homes, second homes. And you were going to bring some information for me.
Sure.
I hope you're prepared.
I'm prepared. I did my homework.
You did do your homework, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's good.
I did.
So how's it going? How's the mortgage industry coming along?
Listen, everything's still good. The rates are steady. They took a little bit of a hit yesterday.
Okay.
Based on some information that came up.
But, and when you say take a hit, that means they went up.
An eighth of a point. You know, so it goes from 3.25 to 3.375. But for the most part, the rates are not the issue with the market, as you know.
Yeah, it's definitely not the problem. The problem, the challenge, it's not a problem, it's a challenge. The challenge is inventory. Yep, Am I right?
Still inventory.
That's what I thought.
I have lots of pre-approvals, many clients, some even bidding on the same home sometimes.
I mean,
there's only, what, 400 or 500?
Yeah, no, there's not even that many. There's probably 320, 350 maybe. God. That's it.
You told me about 2 months ago that our average in Berks County was like 1,200.
Even more than, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah, you could call that an average. I mean, that average has come down a lot because of what's going on. But years ago, I remember at times there would be 2,000, sometimes 2,200. Now, when the market was oversaturated, there was probably 2,500 or more homes on the market. So, you know, and what that meant was a 9-month sale time. I remember going into clients' houses, looking at getting a listing, saying, hey, if we price this right in this market, you should be able to move in 6 to 9 months.
Oh, I was just going to ask you what you meant by that. So you're saying you plan in June, you're not selling to them.
Yeah. Well, because the average sale time back then was six months. That's how long it took because you had less buyers and a lot more listings. So if I looked at a house in Werner Farm, or not Werner Farm, in Wilson Schools, between 300 and 400,000, if 40 properties came up, and you only have so many buyers in the market, it's going to take that long for your house to sell. And obviously, the more competitive you were price-wise, the sooner your house would sell. So it's so different than today.
It is.
So different than today.
You know, and excuse me, what I've started doing is on my pre-approvals, I'm like adding comments. You know, this client's A+. You know,
But that actually helps. It really does. Good. And I know you've done that on mine. It helps. I mean, for the lender to say, hey, this client is just amazing, or this buyer is, you know, A++.
Yeah, no issues.
Then, you know, obviously if they're D-, I would bring that up.
Correct.
I'd let that go.
But no, it's all about creativity now, and your agents and lenders just have to get on board. And most are, you know, most of the agents are, you know, I'm learning things every day that agents are trying as far as, you know, competing with the other clients, the other buyers.
And we're all learning every day. And this market is nothing that anybody has ever seen. Yeah. So it's not like anybody can say, oh, yeah, this is the way it was then. And so we're just going to go with that kind of a mood. So that's it's everything's changing. Everything's different. So let's jump into what we wanted to talk about, which we talked about last month. We said we wanted to bring up purchasing a second home. What does that entail? How far does it need to be? You know, is the interest rate higher? Those questions there, I think, are what we have. So first of all, let's get right off the bat would be, how far away does this house need to be if it's a second home?
The second home needs to be at least 50 miles. Typically, it doesn't need to be in a beach town or anything like that. And what I was talking with Brad earlier was what I was seeing when the market was, there was more homes on the market. It was even in college towns, some parents who had kids going to college were buying a second home. Maybe they, let's just use Penn State, for example. They get a home at Penn State, they buy it, they're going to use it on the weekends, their kids are living there, and then they keep it as a rental, or they can sell it when their kids Yeah. Your kids graduate.
And because that's more than 50 miles away, that's considered a second home.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So at that point, that changes the second home interest rates. Are they better than an income producing?
Correct. They're definitely going to be better on second homes, but we're seeing that both are high right now.
Okay.
Yeah. For it's all the risk COVID, you know, still nipping us in the butt, and it's just slowing everything down as far as pricing on second homes, which is a shame because typically if you're at 3.25, you'd be at 3.5, 3.75 on a second home. And you're looking at even I quoted with points, which, you know, points to pay just to get any rate.
So what's rate without, can you do without points on a second home?
Higher credit scores. Yes. Yes. Okay. Investment properties is tight. Meaning that 800 credit scores could be.
Wow. Okay.
But when I'm saying points, it's not just 1.1% of the loan amount. It's sometimes a quarter point.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So it's not a huge amount of money, but it's definitely the investors telling us something.
Well, I think what it is too, if you think about it, this is the way I look at it. Anytime you have a second home or income producing property, your primary residence is the last thing you're going to let go when things hit the fan.
Right.
Okay. So the way I look at it is your second home is one of the first things you're going to let go when shit hits the fan.
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, and I think that's why it's a higher risk for the lender. It's
absolutely
just totally higher risk because, you know, you're going to always do whatever it takes to keep your primary residence because you need a place to put your head down at night. Mm-hmm. Your second home, it's a luxury. It's a luxury. It's exactly right.
Yeah.
And luxuries tend to be, you know, things that go quickly when things aren't good. So, yeah, so I get that. But when you said, so if I was going to buy a second home right now, What would the rate be? I mean, with the lowest amount of, if you say credit score in the 700s.
Yeah.
What do you think it would be?
3.75. I just did one for 3.75.
Okay, so we're not talking 5%.
No, it's not a make or break. And you have to remember on an investment property, this was the second home, but an investment property, you're earning income on that. So, you know, you're offsetting. But I did hear an interesting fact as far as when you're looking at investment properties, something I learned is something called the 1% rule. So if there's any investors out there that are looking to get into the business, well, right now you're probably going to overpay,
but
typically if you're planning on, you know, looking for an investment property now or down the future, the 1% rule states that if you're buying, for example, a $300,000 property, your mortgage and all your debts, meaning your taxes and your insurance, should not exceed 1%, which is $3,000. So that's kind of a good baseline.
Yeah.
For people to understand. Now, second homes, you're really only required to stay there 4 weeks out of the year. So you could share that home, but typically an investment is full, you know, rental.
Right. Got it. Yeah. So the ones at the shore, you know, you wonder where that actually falls into play because, you know, a lot of times if you buy a second home at the beach, you might be also renting that.
Yep.
But also using it for your own situation.
Correct.
So you have to talk to your accountant too to find out exactly how that's going to show up or how that's going to affect your taxes.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good thing. And also I have a show coming up next week with a guy from San Diego. His name, I'm going to just plug it right now.
San Diego.
Stay classy, San Diego. No, his name is Joe Viery. I guess Viery. It's his last name is spelled V-I-E-R-Y. He has a company called U.S. Tax Advisors Group. It's out of San Diego. And his whole specialty is saving you IRS money when you own investment properties. Yeah, real estate investment properties. That's his thing. And so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm set up to show. We're going to be talking to him next week. It'll be next, I think it's Thursday.
Finding ways to use that investment property for more tax deductions?
He basically is trying to get you to pay the least amount of money to the IRS.
That's really cool.
That's what his company does. Obviously not legally. you know, right away. Right. I know you're probably thinking it's not legal. I know. No, but it's at 2:00 on the 26th. I'll be doing a live streaming and a podcast with this Joe Viery is his name, Joe Viery. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it. He's from San Diego. It's U.S. Tax Advisors Group, Inc. So you can look him up online or whatever and see who the guest is going to be. So getting back into mortgages. So you said also that the interest rates they went up a little bit.
Yeah.
So this is a sign of inflation.
Yes, correct. So that's what we were going to discuss next is where the rates could go. It's still, there's nobody has the crystal ball, but remember there's that looming inflation out there and you're seeing it. Like we talked about lumber, new construction,
crazy,
new cars that, you know,
I talked to a builder last night. We were out at dinner. We were at a great place for dinner. Went to Mazi last night. If you live in this area,
yes,
it's a great Greek restaurant. So little plug.
Yes.
So we were at Mazi last night and I saw a builder that I know and we were just real quick had a conversation. I said, how's it going? You know, lumber costs, things like that. He said he built a house for 375,000 for this one couple. They moved in and then he had another person come and say, that's exactly the same house I want to build on my lot. Now just take the lot cost out of it. Don't even, that's not even involved. So it was 375 to build the house. He said he just priced it out again. It was 405. Wow. Same exact house, same, you know, same products, everything. It's like 405. So there, you know, that's incredible. And there, and he said that he heard that it's going to, that's going to probably actually go up. There's such a major, major inventory issue on lumber and supplies for homes. So just keep that in mind too.
What about there's no new homes being built though. Like there's not even land.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but the builder I was talking to does scat site building. You know, he does more of like somebody finds a piece of land and then builds on that lot.
That's what you're going to
have to do. Yeah, because there's really not that many communities. Definitely not. So, so going back into inflation, what are you hearing? You're hearing rates might go up even more.
I think we're destined for higher interest rates. And that, now when I say that, I did 4.25%.
Yeah, right. So it's still great rates. Still great rates.
You know, I got some flack for the millennial tease saying millennials were spoiled, but it really is true because if you
I remember when you said that. So you did catch that.
Well, here's the thing. So taking the rates out of consideration, investment properties are always a good thing. I mean, if you have the means to it.
And,
the one of the things you need to ask yourself, are you ready to be a landlord? That's the ultimate question. So
that is it,
when getting into real estate, when you have one or two properties, you know, under management, start talking about 2, 3, 4. Now you're looking at collecting rent. You're making sure you're doing credit checks. So a lot more goes into it as you build. Now 10 is the maximum that lenders feel comfortable with before you get into small, merging that portfolio into small business and commercial.
Oh, interesting. So you could have 10 separate units.
Mortgages.
And then after you go.
You can own 100.
But if you have 10 mortgages, then they get a little nervous. Yep.
That's the guideline. 10.
10.
Yep.
And then what do you do then if you get to 10? Start putting together.
Yeah. Well, you start combining them. You talk to a tax accountant.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Maybe that's interesting.
To create an LLC.
Right. Which I suggest off the bat, just so you know, speaking of the LLCs, if you're going to be buying more than one, if it's not a second home and you're buying an income producing property, I would strongly suggest doing an LLC.
Well,
the only thing is interest rates are going to be higher.
Well, no, because there's a way, and I'm not going to coach it because I'm not, you know, an expert, but you purchase it under your tax ID. There is a way to transfer it into an LLC, but again,
right, gotcha.
It's way above my pay grade.
Gotcha.
But there's ways. So you could talk to a small business banker.
Yeah, it's something that that I would do for the liability reasons.
Yeah.
Because if something happens at that investment property, or anything would happen, it's nice to have it in an LLC because then they can't go after you personally and take your personal home. You know, that's just if something catastrophic would happen. But you know, it's something to think about.
So the other thing I just wanted to get into as far as, you know, when qualifying, you know, my clients for investment property. So the biggest question is, can I use the rent that I'm going to get for approving the mortgage now? Yeah, you can. We have to have a lease agreement.
So you can use that.
Yep. 75%. So if it's $1,000,
75%.
Yep.
So now that's funny because in the past I thought you couldn't because I thought you had to wait a year to be able to count that.
No, we can use it right. So as long as you have a signed lease agreement.
Right. Yep. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So I just did a misconception between investment and second is I had a young couple that bought their first investment property, great clients. And they said, well, why can't we just call it a second home? You know, and because they were running into the down payment issues. 20% down on an investment property will get you into the home, but 25% is better rates.
Right.
They were teetering on 20 and 25. And they said, well, why can't we just call it a second home? And then you explain it because it's got to be 50 miles, you know, so forth and so on. But it's just everything you've got to think about when you're looking into this, you know, and your lender can help you with that.
Yeah. And also I'd say anytime with the investment lender, accountant, realtor.
Yeah.
So the three of those together, accountant's very important when you're first getting into any kind of a new venture, because they're going to guide you on what, so you don't screw up anything on how you're purchasing it, how you're claiming it, you know, all those things, because, you know, once you do it, it's a lot harder to change it afterwards. Yeah. So I suggest
you want to go in right. You want to go in and clean everything up, make sure it's not legit, but that you understand everything.
Yeah, too. Absolutely. You're exactly right. Well, you know what? We're 15 minutes into this. So it goes so fast, right?
So fast.
So next time, I'm not sure. What do you want to talk about next time? Do you have any ideas? Or
why don't we throw it out? Like, let's try to get, you know what? Because I'm getting people that are saying, hey, I listened to it. You know, you and Brad both have ADD. You know, you guys need to slow down. But
we were pretty calm today, though. I think it's pretty calm. It's laid back. That's because we know we have the happy hour coming up. We're trying to save our energy.
So excited.
And it's so nice outside, too. We're so glad that COVID is coming to an end and we're able to go out, and we're able to be in any place without masks. It's so cool.
But send it in. So I guess we're
send in some ideas.
Please.
That sounds a great idea. Yeah, let's do that. Awesome. Right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. All right. There we go. That was fun. That was a good time. And don't forget, I do have that accountant guy coming in next week, next Thursday at 2:00, which to you would be the 26th of May, depending on when you listen to this. So I want to thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back in a couple weeks also with Pete Heim. Thank you. Are your kitchen and bathroom way overdue for a remodel? Well, I got the guy for you. Call John Sellers at First Response Contracting, 484-256-7136. Both residential and commercial services, and he's licensed and insured. Call him at 484-256-7136, First Response Contracting.